Deciding whether to buy another practice is among the biggest financial decisions an orthodontist will make over the course of their career. Today we're talking with a doctor who has already made this transition. She's here to share her insight and advice. Stay with us. Our guest today is Dr. Amy Smith of Smith Orthodontics. She holds a doctorate of dental surgery from West Virginia University and a master's of science degree from University of Louisville. She's a practicing orthodontist with offices in Parkersburg and Ripley, West Virginia, and a longtime client of our agency. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad we got you on the show finally. So let's just tell us a little bit about your career. How you got into ortho?
Well, dentistry has been in my family since forever. My grandfather was a dentist, and he had a practice in St. Mary's, where I grew up in West Virginia. And then my father and my uncle joined him in this practice. So growing up, I spent lots of time, you know, at the dental office, running up and down the halls and, having fun there. And then when I went off to college, I just really realized that, you know, dentistry is a great profession for women, for anyone really. And so I got into dental school there at WVU, and after all that time there, then went to Louisville for ortho, and it's just been fantastic. I've never regretted it for a second. I love it. I love ortho. I love, you know, making people happy, changing their smiles, changing their attitude, makes them more confident. It's just very rewarding. It's a very rewarding profession.
Do you remember a time or like what age you were when you kind of made the decision, I'm going to do this and be an orthodontist?
Well, I always liked kids. I enjoyed babysitting growing up. And so for a while I wanted to, and I've always liked science, chemistry. So I thought maybe I want to be a pediatrician. And I want to say it was probably freshman year of college that I kind of thought, you know what, I don't want to be on call. I don't want to have to deal with, you know, that part of being a doctor. So dentistry was, you know, the no-brainer at that point.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, being on call, I just remember being in shift work, and that alone was not super fun at all. I did not miss that.
I mean, you know, I guess technically for the office, I am on call in the evenings. I mean, I had a call last night. It was 6 p.m., but it was, you know, a loose bracket. And so some of the emergencies are, you know, easy to handle typically.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I hope there's a lot less of them, I would think. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So those that don't know about your practice, can you just tell us a little bit about your practice in Parkersburg and Ripley?
So this practice started when I graduated 2005 from Louisville, and slowly started from scratch. You know, a lot of people in the area knew my family, so that really helped. My uncle being a dentist, he started sending me referrals, and I have one of my best friends from dental school. She's a pediatric dentist, so she's been there right from the beginning. So that's really helped. Just going back home to practice and knowing people really helped just to grow from scratch. And then as the practice grew and grew, I kind of thought there was another orthodontist in town that was getting a little older. And so we would go to lunch, very good relationship, very nice person and colleague. But we would go to lunch every now and then. And, you know, I told him, I don't know, 5 years ago or before we actually did the transition, I said, hey, I'm interested if you ever want to sell your practice. So,
well, that's smart. So you just like planted the seed just in case he doesn't think. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I didn't want to insult him by, you know, but I just said, hey, you know, if you ever decide you, you know, want to slow down, you know, think of me. So, it ended up working out.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you started your own practice. This shows you how important it is to have relationships with people in the community. That's super important because referrals definitely can make a huge difference when you're starting the practice. Mm-hmm. And that helped you really grow it. And then you decided to take on another practice. So let's just talk about how that story, you wanted to grow and you decided to do a little acquisition there.
Yeah. You know, I have two daughters. Audrey is 13 and Alexandra just turned 11. So when they were little, I started out working 3 days a week, 3 full days, but, you know, I wanted to try to spend it, you know, you're torn as a mom, you know, I wanted to try to be there for my kids as much as possible, but I also was trying to start my career. So, you know, it's really tough and challenging to do both things as best as possible.
Oh, absolutely.
So as they've now gotten older, they're a little easier to, you know, there's into activities and my parents are here too. So, you know, again, having connections and family in the area has helped me. But when I decided that, we were going to grow the practice, you know, I was willing at that point in my career and in my family life to work more. And I knew that buying another practice was going to mean spending more time at the office, treating more patients. And also the other orthodontist did have a satellite practice, which is about 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
Great, great town, great area. And I felt like it was time and I was able to do that. And I wanted to do that too.
So that was good timing. You had really more free time on your hands and wanted to push. And this other doctor was kind of at the end of their journey as an orthodontist. So that's really good timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked out.
So was that the main reason that they were attractive? They had the satellite office. It was available near you. What other things were attractive about his practice?
Well, the size of his practice, I knew wasn't as big as mine. So again, I felt like I wasn't going to be taking on too much, because I didn't want to, you know, make it worse. You know, I wanted everything.
All of a sudden, so working 6 days a week from three or something.
Exactly, yeah, no Saturdays for me.
But
yes, the size and going down to the satellite once a week was definitely going to be doable. And, you know, of course, we were adding more staff. So, you know, you can treat more patients when you have more staff. And of course, you have the size of building that we did. We had space that we could just basically treat everybody still at my same facility. We didn't have to move. So that was also a plus.
Yeah, that's really a big thing to consider because you could have had to have added two more offices, but you got to add just the satellite office.
Right.
So you get all that savings already immediately.
Yes. And so it really worked out I own my own building right now. So we didn't need to add any extra facilities, but I was just able to take over the lease at the satellite office. So that worked out really, really well.
When you visited his practice, because you're going to obviously take on some of the team because you have to merge them, were you kind of doing like a soft interview with everyone to see if it was a culture fit with your existing team?
No, actually, it was a big secret. Nobody knew about it. I didn't.
Oh, wow.
And in hindsight, I would not recommend doing that at all. It was, gotcha. I really didn't know the culture of his practice at all, except for what I would see on his social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big transition. So he didn't want me to tell anybody. He didn't want, I think his big concern was that he didn't want anyone to leave the practice. He didn't want patients to leave. He didn't want staff to leave. And I totally get that. But, you know, what happened was we picked a date. It was like May 1st, 2019. And he told them all at lunch, at a lunch meeting, that he was selling his practice. And then I showed up and it's like, hi, I'm your new boss. And honestly, there were lots of tears going on over there. It was like,
welcome,
oh my, what did I just walk into here? Yes. So, you know, it was, and then he went off to the AAO meeting. So he was gone for like the next week.
Oh, like immediately he just disappeared.
Okay, yeah. He was like, okay, I'm going on vacation. So I spent the next week, we moved things.
Yeah, of course.
He was paper charts. I was all electronic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was definitely a lot, to take on, and having the staff not really knowing and they weren't prepared. But you know, here we are now, you know, 2 years later, everything's great.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, what an inch. I can imagine walking into that room and then all those emotions being so high right at that moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. He'd had a lot of his employees had been working for him for years and years. I mean, yes. very loyal employees. And there was one lady that retired pretty immediately because she had told him, you know, in the past she was going to retire when he retired. So that was fine.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I don't know how to, it's hard to know how someone treats chairside if you're not, you know, able to go in. And like you said, you can go in and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, shadow, but I wasn't able to do that. So our treatment philosophies.
I assume you'd recommend to do that, if at all possible, if you're going to acquire another practice or giving advice about it.
Absolutely. Yes. Of course we had the practice that we did practice valuation, you know, leading up to the actual, you know, purchase. I mean, everything behind the scenes was done.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic. You know, he had his practice value, you know, the valuation done, and then we did our own separately. And, you know, we worked with, Benson Koppel, and they were very helpful with negotiating, and it was pretty lickety split. I mean, he was ready to sell, and the price was right. It was just, everything was valued very, very well. And but you can't ever really know how they practice until you get into the nitty gritty and
yeah, absolutely. We just had Chris on the show, so this is perfect timing. So you definitely, mm-hmm. right? I would assume you recommend working with someone, an expert, when you're going through this sort of change.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's probably not a time for a handshake agreement.
No, but they gave us very good advice. So yes, well, that's highly recommended.
That side was very, very well done. All the mm-hmm. T's crossed, I's dotted. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you have any other advice if you're to do it over again, someone thinking about going down this journey?
Well, I think that in the beginning, you know, I wanted everything to keep flowing the way I had always been practicing. And we tried to cram a lot of his patients into our time slots, and the way he practiced was very different than the way I practiced. I mean, he did a lot of wire bending, and that wire bending takes a lot of time chairside. I'm more of a let's repo brackets, you know, and more straight wire. So it made sense as to why he scheduled so much time with his patients. After the fact, I realized this. So
I see that,
you know, it was a lot of running behind in the beginning, and I hate running behind. I'm very particular with, you know, we have these crazy schedules that, you know, our consultants had, you know, spent so much time, you know, filling out, and they're fantastic, but trying to cram certain patients into small time slots, it was tough in the beginning, and it was tough on the staff. But you know, what I would say is I probably should have worked on some Fridays. I should have worked on extra days, you know, in the beginning, to fit everybody in. And so looking back, yes, hindsight, I should have spent a little more time in the office rather than trying to cram some patients in, but you live and learn.
Well, it's only because he had that different culture. I mean, I could see mm-hmm. you're really focusing on efficiency, which you have mm-hmm. to do nowadays. Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of the girls were used to the pace that we were. And some of the patients weren't either. I mean, we had some staff ended up leaving, which, you know, it's fine. Not everybody's going to work well with different doctors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And some patients ended up leaving, and we hated to see any patient go. And, you know, we always try to do our best, but some patients are just gonna try to find what they're used to maybe before. So
yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But on the other hand, when you acquire practice, if there are a lot of inefficiencies there, there's probably a lot of opportunity to increase kind of the valuation that was compared to what you bought it for, right?
Yes.
So I think it's a good purchase.
We're running a business, and, you know, we didn't go to school for that. I didn't go to school for that.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had taken some business classes when I was back in undergrad, and you don't think about that. Even when you're in dental school, you don't think about it because you just want to graduate.
Right.
To get your degree at that
sure,
point.
That's so true. I know. I hear that a lot. God. It seems like it's going to have to change. I mean, that's why we're going to put together a marketing academy just to help orthodontists who need to know at least the basic stuff, because they don't teach guys in school at all.
They don't, but you know, there's so much to running a business, and you got to watch the overhead. You got to watch, there's so many things to watch. You know, my husband and I have these conversations. He's like, have you checked this and this? And I'm just like, I'm just trying to get through my Invisalign ClinChecs. I just, you know, it's a lot.
Absolutely.
Every time sometimes I just barely sit down at the office, because every time you sit down, someone needs you. And it's like, you can't do the business side of things. You can't. So
that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The troubles of being busy. All right. So one thing that caught my attention is you said he was all on paper.
Yes.
And you are electronic. And I know even recently you just changed your patient management system. So let's talk about kind of that journey, merging the two, and then going to another patient management system. How has that been?
So when I graduated, U of L was fantastic with, you know, back, it was, again, it was 2005, but I was like immediately all about going digital, digital charting, digital x-rays.
Yeah.
You know, I've been that way for pretty much since I got out. And so I had OrthoTrack. I've had that for years. And he was also OrthoTrack. So I thought, oh, this is great. This is going to be easy.
Oh, yeah. On the surface, it seems perfect.
You would think. But, you know, come to find out, he was only using the OrthoTrack software for all the financials and all the scheduling. And then, of course, the imaging. So he wasn't using the chart notes at all. He was handwriting all of his charts. So he had a paper chart for every patient, and he had an electronic chart. So again, back to the time thing, it was like, oh my goodness, this is taking so much extra time for each patient writing in the charts. And it was, So again, I thought that it was going to be easy to transition, merge our softwares, but that was a whole nother.
It was yet another thing to overcome.
It was
yeah,
crazy.
I can see why the working on Fridays, maybe that makes sense.
should have done that.
Gotcha.
But eventually, we got all the charts all merged into the one system. And quickly after that, I was like, I am leaving OrthoTrack. No more. Mm-mm.
That kind of precipitated that? Because I was wondering why you would go through all the trouble to do the merge and then change again.
Yeah, I know. I just can't sit still. I always have to be changing something.
Well, whenever you're trying to become more efficient, you're always going to be looking for the better, you know.
I just wasn't happy at all with the way things went with OrthoTrack. I just felt like their software was just more dated. I'd been looking around for other software. So we decided to go with Ortho 2. And we love the Edge Cloud. I mean, of course, there's certain things that we miss about OrthoTrack. Well, not me. Some of the girls, they like the financial. The girls up front like the financial part of OrthoTrack better, but it's,
I mean, no, none of the systems are perfect. We need to get everyone. I need to interview some of these other guys. We've talked to Greatfinch a few times and they have tons of stuff. We've talked to Cloud9.
I mean, I tried to talk to a bunch of people at the SAO meeting. I think it was in Orlando before we actually decided to bite the bullet and switch to Ortho 2. I did talk to a few, but that was of course right before COVID. So I was glad at least went to that
right
meeting.
Before COVID. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we ended up switching to Ortho 2 the next year. So it was like August 2020 is when we switched to Ortho 2. So it's been very good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So you've started a practice and you've taken one over. Which one would you say is harder to do?
Oh, taking one over for sure. It's just, there were so many differences and it might not be that way with, you know, merging two different practices. Maybe the doctors were more similar and treating the same. And I wouldn't say to not do it because of that.
Yeah.
Because of the different ways you practice, I would just say you really need to be prepared for any and everything. One of the consultants that we talked to said, typically when you have a merge practices, it's going to be rough for 6 months, you know? And then I'm like, you know, 9 months in, I'm like, when's it going to get better? You know, sometimes I'm like,
oh gosh,
gotta, you know, the stress and like I said, lots of change in the staff and, you know, COVID didn't really help. It didn't really help us at all. You know,
right. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that many months into, you know, having the two practices as one, COVID hit. And so right when you're supposed to be seeing all this, you know, increased production and really things getting going, it was like, well, sorry, you have to shut your doors, you know.
Yes.
So that was a punch in the gut really last year, but you know, we survived and we got through it and I have a smaller staff now, but we're happier and everyone gets out of work at a decent time, you know, 5-ish, we're 5:15, 5:30, we're done and everybody can go home and be with their families and we're happier. So it's
I mean, being happier is worth everything. That's absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So I think, during a lot of this transition, we also did the rebranding with the logo and, you know, we kind of the website and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So just tell me about why did you decide to do that? Why was that a good time? Are you happy you did that at the time? And
you got to keep things fresh, with marketing, as you know, so much more than me about that, but it had been a few years, maybe 2 years or so since we had redone our website. And I had thought about redoing our logo and I thought, you know, this is a perfect time because we're going to have to redo all of our letterhead and redo all of our, so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, why not just do it all in one fell swoop? So redoing the logo, I thought that it was great. You know, the way you guys helped us with that. I mean, asking us all about us and our practice and what makes us great. And so I felt like it was just a great time since there was going to be so much other transition. We were going to have to be putting signage up down in Ripley at the.
That's
the
true. When you're changing a lot of physical stuff, it's a great time to change a lot of your design because I think a lot of doctors don't realize that. If you change your logo, we need to change it pretty much everywhere as soon as it's feasible.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, that makes it a very smart time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really fun project. Okay. So how important do you think it is to have a strong brand? One of the things we did, I remember changing is the messaging was, you know, that you're one of the trusted orthodontists in town. I think we've tried to center your messaging around trust. I think that's been very successful.
Yeah, I love that. I guess it's not really a tagline, but I love that you said, because I want people to trust me. I want, you know, we've, like I said, we've been doing this for, you know, a long time, and I feel confident in treating pretty much everybody that walks in the door. I mean, we've been doing Invisalign for so long. I mean, it's great. It flows, and it's, you know, all of the people in the community know us. We try to get out and support the community a lot. I think, you know, we kind of touched on that a little bit. I do think that's important to have our staff go, and we've gone and got an angel tree child off of the Christmas trees, and we'll go together and shop, or we go and volunteer at a race to hand out snacks or waters. It's good to get out there in the community, because that's who's supporting you. We have lots of other, we treat patients of other small business owners. I go to their shops to buy things. I think that's really important. And I want the community to feel like Smith Orthodontics supports everybody locally. Now, it is, that being said, having a satellite office, it's been a little harder to, of course, get involved in the community there, because we don't live there and we're not there as often. But we've tried to meet the staff at those other offices and do as much as we can.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we've done a lot for a satellite office to get your branding out there, talk about your message, understand the culture. And, you know, we go over the social media metrics every month, and consistently all the posts that people love are when you guys are doing something really fun and we're getting to know you a little better. That's what people like. And it kind of is coming full circle. We were just talking about when you started the practice, how important connections are and then your network is, and really being involved with the community. So it's really, that is paying all these dividends now, and just keeps doing it over and over again. Especially when you're in sort of a rural community or a smaller community, I think it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. It, like, just recently we did the pink bands for breast cancer awareness, and the money, we have the kids get pink if they want it, but we tell them, hey, would you like to help support the pink mammogram fund that they have at our local Camden Clark WVU hospital. And so you could see the boys' eyes go, okay, you know, but it's for a good cause, and they know that, and that it helps them to realize that they're helping others in our community. So that's, you know, we like to help the kids get involved too. So.
Yeah, that makes it real. I think that does matter. How important do you think it is to just have consistency in your branding? You know, what's on your website, what's on your business card, what the inside of the office looks like, because you had to acquire another office, so you have to go through some of that. We had to, you know, we put vinyl on the windows, we changed the signage. I think, how do you feel about that?
I think it's important. I've kind of always heard that you want your logo on anything that leaves your office, any piece of paper, any, you know, t-shirts, you know, sweatshirts, whatever, you know, it's that recognition of your logo and the name, you know, so it's, I think it's very important. The more people see it, they feel like, oh yeah, I know that, or I've seen that. And so they feel, you know, familiar, I guess, and comfortable when they're around that.
And even in the main office in Parkersburg, you've done a little bit of remodeling in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, it was we had carpet in there, and it was definitely time to go.
I think a lot of doctors are in that position, because you kind of go blind to it when you're in there all the time. You almost need someone else to come in and give you their opinion, because you don't want to feel.
Yeah, it's still like refreshing, you know, we're refreshing everything. Like I said, with the logo, your website, you know, you got to redo things inside your office too. You need to walk in the front door and pretend like you're a patient and see what everything looks like from those eyes, because you're always in the back. So it's good to to check that out. But yeah, we redid all the floors to, you know, hardwood floors. And then we did all new, our whole lobby's been redone. So it's definitely fresh.
You even redid the parking lot recently. I think last time I was up there. I mean, to mm-hmm. me, little things like that, from yeah. my point of view, make a huge mm-hmm. difference. You go in somewhere and, mm-hmm. you know, the asphalt looks really bad and there's potholes and there's no, mm-hmm. the paint's really old and there's carpet. Every little mm-hmm. thing, I think, stacks up mm-hmm. on what someone's oh, yeah. opinion of your practice is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's very important. Fresh paint, just little things like that. It's definitely does a lot. And people notice too. I had a patient come back. We finished her, I don't know, 5 years ago. And she was in the office the other day because she didn't wear her retainers and she wanted to do Invisalign again.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, it's been, you haven't been here since we redid it. So I think there's patients that come back, or maybe, hey, they're going to bring their kids, you know, down the road. It's like, I think it's good for them to see that our practice is doing well. We're putting money back into the practice. I think that's important. I think that's important for your staff too, to see that you,
oh, absolutely.
It's not all about making money. You want patients to feel comfortable and, you know, think that, oh gosh, this is doing, they're doing well, and they appreciate their building and even the plants outside. You got to redo the landscaping. It's little things like that.
Yeah. I think it says a lot about your culture and your attention to detail and how much you just care, really. You're in the appearance business. So I think it's pretty yeah. important.
You know it.
So, all right, we'll bring it back just a little bit to the transition, acquiring another practice. Is there any last mm-hmm. little piece of advice you give someone if they're thinking of going down this road of growing through acquisition?
Well, do your homework. You know, if there is a satellite, you know, you don't have to buy that satellite. We did go ahead and, you know, make sure we evaluated everything separately to, you know, make sure that this buying the satellite was also something that we wanted to do and it was worth it.
Awesome.
I know that I wouldn't have to do that, but we did. So I definitely would, you know, recommend that. And, you know, of course, consulting with the experts, you know, but some of these big companies, Benson Koppel, McGill Hill, you know, Kane Waters, there's so many great companies. Joel Allen helped us a whole lot with her consulting during the whole process. I feel like I couldn't have done it without consulting all of these people, the experts that have our best interests in mind.
Perfect. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we close it out?
Well, no, you guys have been great. I appreciate all your help. Mary's fantastic. I enjoy chatting with her every week. And I, you know, I couldn't do it without you guys either.
Well, thanks. All right, Amy, it's been really fun. I learned a few things that I had never heard. So it's always good to hear these stories. Any advice? I think it'll help a lot of orthos going down this path.
I hope so. Feel free to give my information out to anybody that asks. I mean, I'm happy to chat with anyone if they have any questions.
Perfect. All right. We'll put it right on the page on the episode. So anyone that needs any advice can reach out to Dr. Amy Smith. There are two big takeaways from this show. Dr. Smith hired professionals who knew what they were doing so they could make sure the numbers made sense when she was acquiring that practice. Lessons learned, she probably should have worked with the practice, got to know the office, got to know their processes, procedure, the culture, to avoid pain afterwards after she acquired the practice and had to merge everything. So if you want to be a guest on the show, you have an idea for an episode, go to orthothrive.com. You can reach me at richard@orthosalesengine.com. Keep grinding, keep thriving, and I'll see you next time.